Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whoops. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
Now, 92.9 FM ESPN presents Memphis's biggest columnist.
You ain't gotta do nothing, homeboy. You ain't writing nothing. No, you ain't writing nothing. I ain't letting him write. He ain't getting no interview.
It's the award-winning Jeff Calkins from the Daily Memphian and the Jeff Calkins Show.
I don't get no interview. I'm good.
On 92.9 FM ESPN.
Gentlemen, this is something they call a groundbreaker. So let me first apologize to the shirts and the ties for your makeup.
Good morning, everybody. Happy Friday. It is the first Friday of before the first football game, and so we have a we've got a special introduction. Here's the mic sound itself. Have somehow squeezed six members. Okay, that's not the whole sound, but the actual mighty sound is even mightier than that, if you can believe it. But we've squeezed six members of the Mighty Sound of South in the studio, and are joined now by Will Plank. And I'll give you the names right now. We got Parker Van Dresick, close enough, on tuba. Josh Sotero on percussion. Rachel Campbell, he's on the skit snare. Rachel Campbell is playing trumpet. Deja Lawrence on clarinet. Reese Roberts on mellophone. And Evan Green on trombone. They were all nice enough to actually get up this early and come in here, although Josh tells me he would have been up anyway, so we appreciate that. Will, thank you very much for putting this group together.
Very happy to do it.
How are you feeling here? They always ask, football coaches before the first game, how things are going. How was fall practice?
Yeah, it was good. I bet we'll have a similar response to the coaches. things are looking good, but we got to see how the first game plays out and make some adjustments from there. It's kind of the same thing.
One of the things we were talking off the air, one of the things that was amazing to me is 3 weeks ago, this band never existed.
Yes.
And so what we will see tomorrow, you have put together in 2.5 weeks?
Yep. Yeah, that's exactly right. And that's one of the crazy things about the start of the season is how short the band has been together, and then we're out there doing 2 field shows, pregame and halftime, all the stuff in the stands. So it's pretty wild to think about.
And what percentage of the band? It's funny. It's just like in football teams now. Actually, you've got this core, the Seth Hennigans of the world, yep, who return, and you got the core here. These are all returnees. These are all Seth Hennigans. Let's be honest. Basically,
yes,
Seth Hennigans of the world. But what percentage of the band is the same band as last year's band?
Every year, about 35% to 40% of the band are freshmen, new members, and the rest are returning folks. So, yeah, every single year we're kind of reinventing things.
Half of the people are new, sort of.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah. That's sort of extraordinary. Yeah,
we're just getting them assimilated into the culture of the band and learning all the basic things that we do day in, day out.
So I was reading that for a variety of reasons, including the FAFSA mess and including the dip in numbers of students coming along, enrollment at the university, like a lot of universities, is down. Yep. You guys are bigger this year?
Yeah, we're bigger. We're up by about 20 people, which may not seem like a huge number, but that's significant.
Significant.
Yeah. And I don't know, we've been looking at the same trends that the university has. The enrollment has been declining year over year. And for us, if we're following that trend, we're going to have a really hard time being effective in the stadium. I mean, it's a huge stadium. We need the numbers. We need the players to do our job well. And so we've just really kind of hit the recruiting thing hard this past year.
What does that look like?
I guess it's paying off.
And big NIL money behind you, I'm sure. What does that look like recruiting for you? Like, what is that? How does one there's not a tuba player in Sacramento that you have your eye on, sort of thing.
Right.
How does it work, recruiting? Yeah.
We keep mostly a local focus. We find that the personal interactions that we're able to have with potential students, those tend to be the most effective in terms of getting them to come here and want to be part of the band. So we go out to a lot of band rooms every year, talking to students, talking about the Memphis program. We host some events on campus that bring a lot of high school band students to us.
They get
to see our group. And then we have a really great marketing and recruiting team in the School of Music that helps us as well with some other digital elements.
A lot of people don't appreciate, this is true community-wide, but it's also true at the university, some of the spectacular things we have in this town and in this university. The music program is world-class. I mean, it's first-class, isn't
Absolutely, it? Absolutely, yeah. And we've got that brand new facility, which is really beautiful. I recommend anyone who hasn't seen it yet, come check it out. It's right there on the north side of Central Avenue. There's concerts going on almost every day of the year.
Really?
Tons of things to come see. Yeah.
Most of them probably free. A lot of them free.
Yeah,
a lot
of them
you can just come in.
Yep, most of them are free.
So I don't know if you've noticed this. Stadium's a little different this year.
Yep.
Does that change anything? It's funny. Like you talk about filling up the stadium.
Yeah.
Is the sound different? It's going to be slipping out that giant hole.
We'll see. I mean, it might be a little bit. I mean, that's one thing the bowl does is really keep the sound contained. Yeah, but we're moving sections. We used to be in 125. We're going over to 129, which is just the other end of that same end zone. So we'll be aiming at where the majority of the fans are. So I think the fan experience part of it will be very similar. We're also facing the opposite direction for the field shows, pregame and halftime. So it's going to look and feel a little bit strange at first. I'm sure we'll settle right in. We were in the stadium last week for Frosh Frenzy, and it is a little bit shocking looking at that big hole for the first time, but you get used to it pretty fast. And it's kind of nice. It's like you have a room that has no window, and now there's a big,
bay window.
Beautiful
bay window.
Beautiful view of the Coliseum.
All right, let me talk to some of your the Seth Hennigans here. So I was talking to, off the air, I was talking to Reese. And Reese is on the mellophone, right? And so you said the best part of band is friends. Was the best part of band?
Yes, sir. Yes. Oh, sorry.
You go ahead. Just hold that up towards you. Yeah.
Okay. Period.
And then you mentioned band camp. Mm-hmm. The whole world jokes about band camp.
Oh, yeah. And it seems a lot more rough
than it actually is. Believe me, it can be tiring. But, like, when you're trying to come into college as a freshman.
What is Bandcamp?
So
let's take us back to the basics.
Okay, I got you. So it's, like, a couple of weeks before school, 1 to 1.5 weeks, everyone from the band gets to move into their dorm, get to move into temporary housing, and we go onto campus and just practice all day.
All day, basically.
For 2.5 weeks.
And it's hot?
Yeah. Oh, most definitely it's hot. But the benefit is, one, you get to move in early, so you don't have to deal with all of the extra people, right, like, doing all that. And you go into college with this, like, tight-knit group of friends that you wouldn't have if you weren't a part of the band. So, like, when I first got here, I was really nervous about, like, trying to make outreach and make friends.
But, you came from where? Tell me, remind me, you're from Brighton, Tennessee, just outside of, yeah. What, by the way, do people, like, when you said you're going to Memphis, how did you end up here?
Well, so I was looking at different schools, and I really liked how Memphis looked. Like, I know that they say it's not safe and this and that, but, like, the campus is very much different than the city. It's, like, two different worlds. But then they also gave me a lot of money.
They gave you a lot of money.
They did, in fact.
Really?
Did, in fact.
What? What percent have some sort of scholarship? Well,
most of the band get.
Most of the band, I'm repeating, he's not on the microphone. Most of the band gets some degree of scholarship.
It wasn't the band scholarship that brought us here.
Right, okay. Oh, they gave you, the money they gave you was not band-related money. It was just money.
It was like half and half, because I'm a music minor, so I got, like, concert band money. But,
I see. Yes. I see. So the money, and so you've had a good experience?
Oh, yes, of course.
Right. So I want to talk to Parker, who's from Nashville. Parker, a man after my own heart, because he plays tuba. Parker, you were given a choice of what two instruments when you were a young lad?
So, yeah, in sixth grade, I was joining the band, and my band director was like, well, you're either going to play tuba or oboe, which, if you don't know anything about
those
that.
Those are two very different lives, two different trajectories.
Yeah. Yeah,
did you get to pick between them, or even?
No, he picks what you play, which is kind of, like, scary because you never know what you're going to get. But I kind of wanted to play oboe at first, but I'm really glad that he chose tuba for me because I've loved it ever since.
So you're from Nashville.
Correct.
And, you know, I get the sense that everyone in Nashville is not falling all over themselves to come to Memphis.
Yes.
Because of the way that they unfairly disparage our beautiful city. How did you end up here?
So, yeah, I had a friend who I went to high school with. He was like, hey, do you want to go tour Memphis? And I was like, Memphis? I was like, sure, I'll tour, but I'm not going to go to Memphis. And I toured. I loved the campus. Kind of like
really?
What Reese was saying, campus is very beautiful. Fell in love. I applied to Memphis. It's the only school I applied to. Got in. I was like, all right, done deal. Going to Memphis.
Rachel, same. You're also from Dixon.
Yes.
How did you end up here?
So my high school band was looking for new pep songs to play, and if anybody's heard C3, it's a song that the Maddie Sound plays a lot.
C3.
It's like the song we play during pregame. We play it a lot. And my band decided to play it, but we called it Nuck If You Buck. But we watched the video of the Mighty Sound, like, performing it at a pep band game, like a basketball game.
Right.
And we watched that over and over and over again to learn their visuals and what they do during the
So they were good.
They were really good.
You're like, damn, this is...
Yes.
And that sold you? That video is what sold you on...
So I didn't really know much about Memphis when I first saw the video, but then my mom was, like, talking about it later, and I was like, oh, I remember that video. And then I wasn't sure about doing band, like, when I got to university,
right.
But that video and talking to Dr. Plank, like, really solidified it for me.
All right, so then we have a few who are actually from Memphis. Deja, you're from Overton. Do you feel like, as a proud representative of Overton, you're the best band, the best high school band in the city? I mean, it has a reputation of you're all musical wizards over there.
Yes, the absolute best band in the city of Memphis. I'll say it again and again and again.
Is that true?
Absolutely true. Absolutely true.
How'd you start playing?
So I started playing clarinet in middle school. I went to Colonial, which is right down the
just
way.
Just down the way here.
Yeah, and so, like Parker, my teacher was like, okay, so you have two choices. It was either piccolo or this. So I was like, okay, I guess I'll play clarinet. That's cool. And I've loved it. I've been playing for about 14 years, I think. So, yeah, I love it. I
and
really
is
do.
This band, you never know, like the team, like the same team. We don't know how the team's going to be this year. We think it's going to be a great year.
Right.
Can you give me a sense, a scouting report of the band this year?
The band is going to be amazing. Like
amazing.
Bandcamp blew my mind because we got a lot of stuff done. A lot. So really? Just based off of that, this is going to be a really, really good year. I feel it. I really do.
Josh, she claims that Overton is the best band in the local area. You are from Arlington, I believe.
I would say otherwise. Yeah. Arlington, I would say, is the best band in all Memphis.
I think I might have done some advanced scouting on Josh. So I covered the Arlington MUS game from like 2 or 3 years ago. What year were you at Arlington? And I was
I graduated in 23.
Yeah, so I was blown away. I mean, I did some advanced scouting, so Will and I have the same eye for talent, I think.
So, oh, yeah. Impressive, Arlington.
Yes, very impressive.
How many hours a week do you all spend doing this?
A lot. Too many.
Is that true?
Yes, too many. Week in and week out. But it's all worth it, though. We love what we do, and that's that.
You play snare.
Yes, I do.
One of the things that always bewildered me about percussionists is you play everything? Like, you play both the timpani and the bass drum and the tambourine and the, like, do you play or do you specialize?
Well, it all kind of correlates to each other. It's kind of, you know, it's different, you know, instruments, but, you know, you just hit things and...
you just hit things. Not unlike a linebacker, right? Sort of same sort of thing.
Yeah, yeah.
All right. And who haven't we gotten? Evan. Evan, also another local school. Collierville, and Evan is, you're the one member here who happens to be, you're a music major. None of the others are, right? The rest are majoring in something else. What's your dream?
My dream is really just travel the world and just play my horn.
Really?
Yeah.
When did you hit upon the dream was to travel the world and play your horn?
Not too long ago, recently, like a few years ago. When I was really just thinking about...
Hold the microphone just a little
Just
closer.
Thinking about, yeah. like, why I want to go to college. And it's just, like, I really enjoy playing the trombone.
So what is the path between playing your horn here and playing, traveling the world playing your horn? Like, what's next? I would imagine that's not an easy path.
Right. You have to start... First, you have to be in the practice room, continuously practicing each and every single day. I spend, like, 2 hours a day...
You practice 2 hours a day, technique.
Right, and music. And then you have to start getting out into the city, starting to gig. You have to get connections with other people.
Where do you gig?
Currently, I don't gig.
You don't gig. You want to gig. Yes, by the way, he's available for gigs, folks. Evan Green from Collierville High. Do you have, like, in the same way that a basketball player might say, I want to be like, you know, Ja or Kobe or whomever else. Are there trombonists who you like, damn, that dude?
Yeah, I would have to say it's JJ. He's a 1900s blues trombonist.
JJ, a 1900s blues trombonist. Wow. All right, well, I'm a big fan of the Mighty Sound of the South, and I thank you all for coming in. So we're going to play one more. What are we going to play?
This is the second half of Eye of the Tiger.
This is the second half. We don't have a full Mighty Sound, so everything isn't possible. So we're going to give the second half of the Eye of the Tiger here from the Mighty Sound. Thank you all for coming in. I appreciate it. Thank you, Will. Have a great season. We will see you out there Saturday. We're going to take a break, Jeffrey. Well, let's do that. We'll come back and we'll talk about what happened last night in sports and everything else when we return. Jeff Calkins Show, 92.9 FM ESPN.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too. What,
you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
In life, some days are good and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines Gel Flex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Yeah. All right, back on the Jeff Calkins Show. Many thanks to the mighty sound of the South. World Plank. It's a terrific, honestly, it really is. It's a spectacular music program over there. And there are a lot of parts of that university that don't get the attention that, you know, the football and basketball teams get, but do a spectacular job. Interesting, too, that enrollment's down, but the mighty sound is mightier than ever, speaks to the work that, in fact, they do. So thrilled to have them be able to come in and stop in. We do have a busy day today. Some of you may remember this, but every fall, and I did this yesterday, I go to the bank, and I get out 10 of the crispest $100 bills that I can possibly get. That's why I go directly to the source.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I get them, and I bring them.
No ATM for Jeff. He goes to the teller.
Right, if you put them in the ATM and they spit out through the machine, they could get wrinkled, whatever else. These are the freshest, crispest $100 bills. And I hand them to Jeffrey, and I say, Jeffrey, take this money. My retirement is in your hands. Invest it as you see fit, because I have great confidence that at the end of this season, you're going to give me back those 10 crisp $100 bills. Having done their work, they'll be a little weathered at this point. They'll be a little maybe banged up and bruised, but they will have friends, and they will come back, the 10 $100 bills and more. And that has been my firm belief. It is my belief this year. Jeffrey, how are you feeling about our investment plan going forward?
You know, Jeff, last year was obviously a tough year, primarily because Suckers won. It was a Suckers year.
Oh.
And so those of us that have grinded over the tape, those of us that are running our algorithms, those of us that are actually doing the good, like, hard work that it takes to make everyone else money, because we take this very seriously here at the program. Jeff, we weren't rewarded. If anything, we were actually hampered, and we had roadblocks that were put up against us.
It's going to happen sometimes, though.
And it's just sad to see that so many people that were just
like the world today,
blindly just laying with Michigan, they were just cashing and getting all the credit, whereas we were just trying to find every possible edge, and it didn't matter. But today's a new day.
Today is a new day.
And the good news is, so far, for someone who loves to bet unders, Jeff, through 19 games that have been tracked, we have had 15 unders.
In the second hour, we will do that. We're going to have Jason Smith in a little bit here in the first hour, plus Chris Harrington straight up at 10 o'clock. He must be crushed, Jeffrey, that Minnesota lost last night.
I was not.
So there you go. A couple things before any of that. Obviously, we got the Colorado game, last night's games to talk about. Two other things, though. Just a horrific story from the world of hockey. Johnny Gaudreau is a great player. Played for Calgary for many years, and then as a free agent moved to Columbus. But thrilling forward. Little guy who was doubted because of his size and put up massive numbers in Calgary. Anyway, he and his brother, Matthew, were on the eve of their sisters getting married this weekend. And so last night they went for a bike ride, and they were struck and killed by an allegedly drunk driver. It's just, unfathomable. You're out there, you're planning on your sister's wedding, and you get on your bike, and someone can't have the self-respect or decency or whatever to not get behind the wheel. And when you're out there on a bike, you're vulnerable. And so Johnny Gaudreau and Matthew Gaudreau, ages 31 and 29, I believe, are dead. And I know it's not, we don't follow hockey particularly, but that's a massive story in the world of sports today. I am a little bit weary, Jeffrey, because I set my alarm for 3 o'clock, and 3 o'clock and 3:05, and I got up and I had a cup of coffee, and I got in my trusty minivan, and I drove down to Immaculate Conception Cathedral, and that's where hundreds of people gathered this morning, roughly at 4 a.m., to finish Liza's run. I hadn't run more than 3 miles in years. I ran most of the 8-7-something this morning. And
you rounded up.
It's always, I walked some, I'll be honest. I ran certainly till I got to 6, and then I ran less after
six
that.
More miles than I ran.
And I'm a little sore and a little tired, and but it really is. It's hard because the reason that we're gathering is so awful, and these 2 years later is still almost hard to believe, and is a reminder to everyone of, of some of the broader problems we're facing. And yet, the fact that hundreds of people do like I did and set their alarm for 3 or 3:30 or whatever and come out there, the organizer spoke just before the run. She picked up a bullhorn and said a few words. And just to give you the spirit of it, here's what she said.
But what I'm seeing is community coming together and laughing and celebrating. And what I hope to see is a little bit of Liza in each of you. Every day she had a heart for service and had kindness for others and believed in this town and this city and its people. She always left it better than she found it. And today, let's just try to do a little better and shine Liza's light. For your own reasons and for those reasons and for anything that may come to you along the route. As this run continues to age and mature and become more and more important to more and more people, I promise that I will keep getting us together for this memorial, for this event. I know it's important to you. I know it's really important to Memphis. Liza was a loyal friend, a devoted mother and wife, a beloved daughter, and she's the reason we're here. Today we're going to do what we can to finish her run, to carry her torch, and to make this city a little bit brighter. Y'all know what to do. Start your watches, be safe, have fun, and I will see you when it's over.
It's a beautiful event. It's a beautiful, beautiful event. And for all the horrible way that it started, it's an absolutely beautiful event. I was privileged and lucky to be a part of it. Jeffrey, in terms of actual football games, Colorado wins last night 31-26. And we can talk about all the ins and outs of it. It's a gift. It's fun because of Deion, right? Like, in the end, like...
It feels like it matters more.
It feels like it matters. Well, let's be honest. You've got Travis Hunter and Shedeur Sanders are there because of Deion, right? And they put on a show. And so you're watching that game. It's a hell of a fun game. And it's all because of Deion, right? I mean, well, you know, we got a night of entertainment last night.
I'd like to credit Travis Hunter as well.
Yes.
Because that guy
is
amazing.
I think to myself, Mike Norvell must, like, throw up every time he you know, flips on film with Travis Hunter, thinking he would otherwise be.
I mean, I don't even think you can let yourself think about it. I think he's that good. He's
insane.
A college football player, he's that good. Like, is he going to be an all-world NFL corner? Like, I'd bet on it, but at the same time, I don't know.
I was thinking about that, Mike Norvell. Mike's, oh, God.
I just don't think I'd watch.
That catch was absolutely sensational. Travis Hunter, 7 receptions, 132 yards, 3 touchdowns. Shedeur Sanders, 26 of 34 for 445 and 4 touchdowns. Having said that, they put on a show. It was a great show. It was a fun game to watch. And if you're expecting dramatically better or different from Colorado this year, it's hard to, given the pressure that he was under, given their inability to run the ball, it's hard to look at that game last night and think that this year is going to be dramatically better from a trenches perspective.
I do think they're slightly better defensively, and I get it that that's not saying very much. I know it's a common refrain from the Deion stands that Shedeur is like some kind of victim because of his offensive line play. Shedeur holds onto the ball really long.
He does.
Too.
That's true too.
Like, he invites some sacks. Like, even the
long pass, he does also stand in there. I mean,
that's what I'm saying.
Maybe
no.
Too long. Like, the long pass at the 100%. End of the first half, like, he's going to take a lick. He knows he's going to take a lick. That was one of the perfect ball because he was getting hit.
Correct.
Literally as he's letting it go.
He kind of has the Burrow thing where they hold the ball to take the big shot. And...
It is not a quick passing attack.
No.
It is not get
it's
the
not,
ball
it's
out.
It's not like out of your hands.
Get the ball
immediately.
In the hands of the weapon guys. Yeah. Not at all.
Yeah.
He's standing back there.
Right.
But like the throw before that throw where he scrambled left, cut back right,
yeah.
Stop, threw it across the
yeah.
middle. Like, I'm that dude, that is an NFL play. You know, that is now, is that but do you need it to be more on schedule?
I think so. And I do think he's fully capable of throwing on time.
The same thing about Caleb Williams, though, right?
Yeah, like, no,
this is exactly the same criticism people had of Caleb Williams.
I think he's fully, like, because he knows, he clearly has a good feel for the position. There's some guys that throw late, and I think they're throwing late because they don't really, like, they're waiting for somebody to come open. I don't feel like that with him. I feel like more times than not, he's holding, trying to take, to make the big play. I think the receivers are better this year. I think they can probably survive more plays without Travis on offense than they could last year. But, I mean, they're still going to have the same problems that they had last year, which is, you know, are they going to be able to stop anyone? And they did get a few stops in the second half.
Second half, they did. Yeah, they absolutely did. The Miller was playing out of his mind first half. Like, he was great. First half, quarterback.
He was, but he was, God, they were open. Like, to me, the biggest adjustment was in the first half, I think there was some institutional arrogance from Colorado. I think they saw, like, these guys are slow. We're going to man them up. And they just picked them apart on all man beaters. It was like crossing routes, guys wide open. And then the second half, their big adjustment was, all right, keep it in front of us, play zone. And they did a better job getting stops.
And then, you know, there's no reason that they should have been in a position to, you know, to win it at the end. The time management from Colorado was atrocious.
The game should have been over.
Game should have been over.
Now, who was sitting with Colorado -9.5, did I appreciate it?
Right.
Absolutely.
That was ridiculous. The Hail Mary not knocking the damn ball down was ridiculous.
I was fine with the help. They were still behind it. Like, you know, like.
Right.
That one bothered me less.
And then the officiating was also ridiculous. By the way, in both ways.
Well, I was going to say, like Colorado. Maybe in the first half.
The second touchdown, North Dakota State totally got away with a hold. 100% a hold. Like, it was just draped all over him. Hold. Like, whatever. And then the mistargeting in the second. That one against them.
I don't know. As someone who was sitting there with a Colorado ticket, yeah. I did not feel like I was getting a bad whistle in the second half.
No, you did not. No. You did not. In the second half, you absolutely
I was
not.
Feeling was like you're pretty, a couple of hero calls there.
Pretty good. I agree completely. Other games last night, I mean, let's be honest. The UNC-Minnesota game.
That game went exactly the way that I thought it would. It was not fun. With the exception, I didn't have Max Johnson getting
hurt.
A devastating injury on my bingo card. But
Max Johnson, devastating injury as the cameras zoom in on his parents. And hip. Looks like it's a hip. For Max Johnson, but an ugly game, right?
Disgust. That's what Minnesota plays with. Like, Minnesota just makes it ugly.
Arkansas, Bobby Petrino, nearly 700 yards of offense. Now, they're not going to pay Pine Bluff every week.
Correct. But they looked, because I watched a decent amount of that, they looked much more functional.
Tulane, UAB, and Tulsa all won. I don't know if you said you were interested in seeing Tulane. They win 52-0. Did you get anything out of it?
I think the three-man competition is actually not really a three-man competition. I think it's actually Mensa's job, which surprised me. I thought it was going to be Ty Thompson.
Interesting. And then NC State kind of struggled with Western Carolina
more
a little
than
bit. Kind of. They did. And they're going to have to be a lot better. They got Tennessee next week.
Yeah. I mean, it's always the quote-unquote, you know, overreacting to week one. But
that's exactly right. What do we make of any of this? We don't know. Because there's no context to any of it.
And, like, college football week one is just typically always weird. Like, usually when you look back on a season, week one has more of, like, how did that happen?
It was fun to have a real football game on last night, though.
Absolutely.
I enjoyed that. All right, we're going to talk to Jason Smith coming up next, then Chris Harrington, then Jeffrey's going to make you rich. Before then, I will tell you, this would be a great day to get into Oak Hall and stock up on what you need for your tailgate. And that's it, whether you're going to Oxford or whether you're going to Tiger Lane or whether you're going to Knoxville. Right now, at Oak Hall, they have the same beautiful, lightweight performance shirts that you've been wearing all summer, polo shirts, in collegiate colors. So you can wear Tiger Blue. You can wear your Tennessee Orange. Arkansas, we're done. They got Arkansas colors. They got Alabama colors. They got Ole Miss colors. And they're not big logo, garish logo shirts that are like, you know, you can so you can wear this to a business meeting on a Tuesday, and then you can wear it to a tailgate on a Saturday. Plus, honestly, I just like going into Oak Hall and shopping a little bit and talking football on a Saturday morning. It is Oak Hall. Get your NCAA-approved collegiate colors, polos, right now over at Oak Hall to get yourself ready for college football season. We're going to take a break, come back, talk to Jason Smith. It is the Jeff Calkins Show, 92.9 FM.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for Blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
bathroom?
Feel
like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything taken care of.
It took forever. And the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 45% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges. And acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines Gel Flex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Back on the Jeff Calkins Show, joined now by Jason Smith. Jason, John, every single day. From 11 till 2, listen to him then. So, Jason, I just had the Mighty Sound of the South and Will Plank in. And you know what reminded me a little bit of the women's soccer program. And then, it may be hard these days to get stuff done wherever you are. At the University of Memphis, nothing's handed to you on a silver platter, very clearly. But here you have a women's soccer program that I saw Brooks out at the Liza's Run this morning at 5 in the morning or 4 in the morning or whatever that was. And he said they're ranked 6th and 8th in the country in the various polls. And then you get Will Plank in here, and we hear about enrollment at the University of Memphis is down. But enrollment at the Mighty Sound of the South is only up. You know, like if you build a culture is an overused word, but you can accomplish great things. I don't know. I'm impressed by it.
No, I loved it. And I listened to the interview. I loved that they've sort of doubled down on, you know, hey, we're going to go out and recruit and we're going to hit local. You know, we're going to focus on the folks that are here. And to that point, we can't be shrinking in the same way that not just enrollment at Memphis, but it's enrollment across the nation in terms of enrollment in colleges. And they're battling it, man. They're rolling up their sleeves. And it's to your point, it's that old Memphis spirit. You know, we're going to go out and combat this, and we're going to put boots on the ground and go increase our numbers while everything else is decreasing. It's completely the University of Memphis story. You know, you gotta go work for it. It's not going to be handed to you, just like you said. So, no, I thought that it was very emblematic, man, of our story over at Memphis, what they're doing, and that band has been, I mean, as you pointed out, for a long time, man. It's been something we've been proud of at Memphis for a very long time. They do a great job.
So, what did you think of the Colorado Buffaloes last night?
Ooh. I think that defense is going to be an issue. I think I texted John and said it's going to be a long season for Deion. That's what I think. It's funny afterwards, like he, you know, in talking about, you wondered what he was going to say, right? The fact that you knew there was a possibility this would be a close game. I mean, albeit, though, you've got two probably top 10 draft picks. They're talking about today on First Take whether or not Shedeur is going to go number one, whether he can. I mean, he's going to go top 10, maybe top five, and who knows, maybe play himself into that. But I think we, you know, and Jeffrey even talked about this yesterday on his show. This North Dakota State program that's good, but technically was supposed to be a little down from where it's been. And so let's be real. I mean, you wanted an impressive victory. I'm sure Deion did in the sense that we're going to prove to the nation that we are an improved ball club. That's not what it was last year, just a hot start and a bunch of glamour and glitz. But in the end, you know, we don't have enough substance. And so I had hoped for more, and particularly defensively. The stars were good on offense. Travis Hunter's unbelievable. The catches he makes.
He's unbelievable.
Frankly, they keep losing. And I would ask the question, Heather Dinich is asking whether or not, you know, Travis Hunter should be up for the Heisman on a team that's going to be a loser. And that's a great question because nobody in college football is doing what Travis Hunter is doing. The number of snaps for him on both sides of the ball, it's like some people are saying today, and it's so right, he's the Shohei Ohtani of college football. And so maybe he should be up for it. My question, I think, is even better. Should Travis Hunter, if this team continues to lose, if it's certainly not in the mix for a conference title, should he even play? At some point, should he shut it down, a la Marvin Harrison style? Now, Marvin played the season, but he didn't do combines. Should Travis apply that at some point to this season if things get out of whack from a competitive standpoint? Because I tell you, he should. That kid is, I mean, should you?
Well, let's be honest. If he just decided to go put his toes
he could
up
stop right now,
he would be a top 10 pick.
He could stop right now. And so I just say with a guy that is playing that many snaps, oh, my God, I mean, the risk for injury for him.
There's no way
double.
He's going to, though.
And so I would know. Because
he's all in on Deion.
And sure he is. And you would think they could keep it relatively competitive to where you're going to get him on the field. But I'm talking, you know, last two, three, four games. We've been talking about these guys and why would they play
what if they're battling for a bowl game.
Regular season games and non-competitive situations for a guy like Travis Hunter. Last two or three games, if they don't have anything to play for, man, Travis Hunter better be sitting. That's what I would advise him to do.
It is funny. What if the thing they have to play for is bowl eligibility at a time when nobody cares, when people sit out bowls? You're great. You're playing to get
That's
to six
point.
Wins at a time when people don't even when they sit out bowls. Like, who cares?
And your agent's going to tell you don't play in that bowl because it's not going to be important enough. Your stock's already as high as it's going to get. What you can do is lower it if you go in this thing and you can kill yourself. You go in this thing and get hurt. So to your point, maybe they stick around to get your bowl eligible, and then the kid cuts out for the bowl. But with him and with, I mean, again, if this thing ends up being a non-competitive situation, which it very well could when you look at that defense was supposed to be vastly improved
That's an.
They got better in the second half. They were better in the second half.
There were adjustments made, man. But that's FCS out there running on you. That kid. You see that kid run for that touchdown, 20 yards. That quarterback.
Yeah.
I mean, he wasn't fast, Jeff, and there was a big hole through there. You're right.
They almost ran a quarterback sneak for a touchdown.
Oh my gosh! I mean, I mean, come on, and it's about to get much tougher. You're about to step up a level, and so. Going to be a long season, man.
Well, and what it makes you realize is that once those two stars are gone next year,
oh my gosh,
is this going to come crashing down? You know,
got to ask Deion. He looks like he's aged about 10 years.
He does.
After the press conference, I was watching him. He was trying to make the point, like we've never felt this before. But he was acting like he was tapping into some feeling that no one's felt. But he was like, "Have you ever?" And he had to stop again. He's like, "Have you ever?" Won, but you feel like you lost. Yeah, Deion. Yeah. We didn't get it. Yeah, we've actually. I mean, my gosh, he's unbelievable with the press conference stuff. He should be disappointed, even though, as he pointed out, he couldn't help himself. 31 scouts came. They came. You know, they saw what they needed to see. My boy and
Travis. They certainly did see what they. They certainly did see what they needed to see. All right, let me.
Undisciplined too. Undisciplined.
That's the thing.
They were undisciplined out there. That's on. And some of it was Shiloh.
No question. Yep.
Yeah, that's you.
All right, so let's get to the story that you all talked about yesterday on your show before you were responsible for the radio debut at 92.9 of Hitman Hoops. Hitman Hoops, who came in with a flamethrower. He was criticizing everybody over there at that program, and. But anyway, it appears that the University of Memphis is recruiting Artario Morris, who, as we know and has been discussed, was charged with rape. That was subsequently dismissed. He was also, prior to getting to Kansas, when he was at Texas, he was charged with misdemeanor assault. That one he pleaded no contest. So if you are Penny Hardaway, should you be recruiting to your basketball program Artario Morris?
I mean, we know Penny, as he said, is going to take him on a case-by-case basis. And I do think, and John and I talked about it yesterday, the fact that he wasn't charged, it was dismissed matters here. It did certainly with Mikey. Now, this is obviously a more serious, charge in a way. I guess maybe I'm going too far even with that. I mean, Mikey had a gun. He shot it at the car. He did in the end, though, I suppose the charges and what was put on him, not necessarily as heavy. As these were, but back to the point, the law has decided in this case, it's time to move on. And you had the case last year, as John correctly pointed out, with the Illinois basketball player. And so to some, Penny's got to be careful because here's the thing, here's where it can come back and bite you, Jeff. We asked the same question about Michael Dixon when Josh Pastner went and got him, with everything he had been through and accused of at Missouri. If this comes back, if you have a situation here that is similar, or quite frankly, if there's anything that's, I'm not going to say a zero T policy, but with, that's what it becomes. And if it happens on your watch, then yeah, you can, and especially in a situation where you're not doing it, maybe you're not winning to as high a level where people are willing to forgive if something like that does occur. Maybe they're more willing to put it on the player than on the coach for giving them the second or third chance if you've got a program that's going to the Sweet 16 every year, if you catch my drift there. I mean, nobody's complaining about, the character of the players that Nate Oates is getting at Alabama the point I'm making. Why? Because he's winning. And so back to the point. Penny's got to be careful here, obviously, not saying anything news-breaking here, because this guy's obviously got a history, but Penny does know him well. You've had him committed. This isn't something where you're blind to the kid. Maybe even with, Naquan, I know you took the chance on him, obviously. You bring him in, but I don't think you knew him as well as you knew an Artario Morris, who, again, like we talked about, was once committed here. And so Penny knows the kid. He's willing to give him, I guess in this case, we'd call it a second, third chance. And they could use the depth at point guard. And so from that standpoint, just like we have been in all of these, okay. But if it could backfire on you. Typically, Josh did well with second, third chances. We know Penny's going to take these on a case-by-case basis. We'll see what happens. But from a talent standpoint, you could certainly use it. And perhaps he is the, not just playing this year and working him into rotation. But obviously next year, the Tyrese Hunter replacement next to, if you're saying for Penny, hopefully P.J. Haggerty, you know, slips in there.
The to me, the only, I think it's, to me, the answer is very clear. Of course, you take it on a case-by-case basis. You discover, you dig into the kid, figure out what, you know, whatever, what's real, what's not real. Is he going to be a good teammate? You know, do we expect any repeat of this, you know, alleged behavior? Whatever.
Yeah, he's got some history with him. Yeah.
Here's the problem. The only problem that I would say is that I think Penny's history in terms of judging talent versus the rest of the stuff is that he sometimes overestimates talent and his ability to make things work and underestimates the rest of the stuff. And some of that I actually think comes with, particularly with Penny, from a really good place, that Penny wants to help. I do fundamentally believe that. Penny is all about helping people. I don't think it's purely cynical at all. I think he really comes from a place of wanting to give people another chance. But what the variety of stuff, whether it's Amani and his very different kind of baggage that he bought, or whether it's Mikey, or he tends to over-evaluate the importance of talent and figure the rest will all work out. And it has not always, let's be clear. Indeed, the entire makeup of last year's team. So, he has to be judged on a case-by-case basis, and I'm not going to slam it if he brings him. I don't know anything enough.
Sure.
But it's a little, that's all. That's all I would say.
I'm completely with you on the flag that it is, but essentially in this era, and it's particularly with Penny, it's new guys every year. You don't know which, you know, you can tell yourself, well, I've had him since June, right, and it's going to be better this year. But you haven't had these guys. And for the most part, it's the nature of college basketball now where you're flipping it over every year. And no, that's what we've said. Penny's got to get out of that, out of the extreme. Keep P.J. Haggerty for 2 to 3 years, right? Keep some of these transfers in like you did with a DeAndre Williams. That's the key to getting to where you're not working so hard every offseason, but more importantly, not having the sort of chemistry issues that come up when you don't know a guy, when you're bringing guys in and you don't know. Sure, when things are going well, yeah, they're responding one way, but what happens when the adversity hits or they're not getting what they thought they were going to get? I mean, you don't, again, when you're bringing in so many new guys each year, the risk of that all going wrong, of bad chemistry, goes up. And so from your point, yeah, Arterio, a little late here, he could add a little chemistry issue if he wants more, sure. But every guy in there that we don't know could do that, and that's typically kind of where Penny is right now. To avoid this, it's what we said. You've got to get more of these multiple-year transfers in here because the transfer stuff isn't going to stop. And Penny isn't going to all of a sudden go back to recruiting high school seniors and all of them going to start freshmen and we're going to watch them play through their junior and senior year, because that doesn't happen anymore. And so, yeah, I mean, chemistry is more important than ever, and it's probably the potential of it all boiling over is higher than ever because, again, in this world that we're in, you're bringing in new guys left and right. You gotta lower that number, though. And so that you've got more of, you know more of what you have, but more importantly, how it's going to respond in situations, and that's how you build your culture back. And so that's how you keep it there. And so it's continuity that they need, and hopefully an Arterio Morris, to your point, is not just here for this year and, being, you know, doing everything he's supposed to do, making good decisions, playing good basketball, but doing it for multiple years. That, I think, is the way back for Penny Hardaway.
Jason, thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Take care, brother.
Yep, Jason Smith. Jason and John every single day. Always interesting. A lot of times I end up driving away from this show and I'm like, I wonder what they're going to talk about. And I'm like, God damn, I wish I had thought of that. So do a terrific show from 11 till 2. One other thought, Jeffrey, about the game last night, the Colorado game. I'll be honest. I don't understand Ralphie the Buffalo. So I think we can all agree, Ralphie the Buffalo, magnificent mascot,
yeah,
right? I mean,
breathtaking.
Who's better? Bevo?
Yeah, I mean, I'm a Nugget guy.
Because it's a bulldog, for God's sakes.
I mean, Mike the Tiger's pretty good.
But Mike, they're not running with Mike the Tiger.
They're absolutely not.
They're not running with Mike the Tiger.
Might be a slight hazard, yeah.
I don't understand. I even delved into this. I don't understand how you can run with a buffalo. So,
It started as like some drunken frat boys, right?
No, it started with this. That's the duck. The drunken frat was the Peabody Ducks, basically. Started with a drunken guy who was hunting and brought ducks back. But the buffalo, it was in the 1960s, some guy gave him a buffalo. And for a year, he wasn't running. And then the coaches actually said, you know, it would be really cool.
Ralphie's a girl, right?
Yeah, Ralphie's a girl. Yeah. Ralphie's a girl because if Ralphie was a dude, Ralphie would be twice as big, right?
Yes.
And here's my issue with Ralphie. They got five people running with Ralphie. Mm-hmm. Okay. They got two on the front, two on the back, and then one on the way back,
yeah,
as we like to call it, right? One on the way back. That's not with a shovel. That's mm-hmm. separate. That's a separate assignment. And I don't understand. Buffaloes you can't domesticate a bison. So how the hell can they safely, like, what happens if Ralphie says, screw you, I'm going to treat you like a tourist who's too close to me at Yellowstone, and decides to run? I don't understand how Ralphie can be deployed safely with five people. Okay, fine, that's great. Five people. You think five people could subdue Ralphie? Not a prayer.
Seems like that's the cost of doing business.
But then we've had no Ralphie incidents.
I think it also shows, like, when you start domesticating animals, like, they sit there and go, you know, the animal kingdom. You ever seen National Geographic? It's not exactly like awesome. It's kind of dog eat dog. Yeah, this is pretty good.
Oh, so you think the buffalo actually is grateful?
Yeah.
Realize it's got a good gig, Ralphie.
Mm-hmm.
There are some things I didn't understand. There's other people who run alongside Ralphie because buffalo bisons love to. They're like, who's a straight line runner in the NFL? They're straight line runners. That's what they are.
Usain Bolt.
They're sort of Usain. They're not shifty.
Right.
They're not D'Angelo Williams.
Mm-hmm,
you know, they don't have that ability to hit the hole and
neither did Colorado's back last night.
So I just I literally in the middle of the game found myself, how to train Ralphie? How do they train Ralphie? I don't understand it.
I think you might be the only person in the United States of America that doesn't think the Ralphie thing's cool.
Oh, I think it's totally cool. I think it's awesome.
But you found yourself...
I don't understand it. That's a different thing.
How can they
channel the massive grandeur and fury of a buffalo? I don't get it.
I mean,
I'm
expert
from
training.
Buffalo. But I don't think that... Yeah, maybe. I
think you're just jealous because the Bills don't have a live buffalo.
I'm deeply jealous, and I don't understand it.
Like, you could have a live buffalo. But you choose not to.
We should. Yeah, but now...
I think that's a Lions.
You're ripping off.
I think the Lions are responsible for that. I think the Lions, once upon a time, wanted to have a live lion, and the NFL did, like, no live mascots. Like, they put in a rule. I believe that's the case.
Are there no... Is there not a Seahawk or something like that? No.
I mean, they have the Seahawk that flies in, but I don't think it's allowed. Like, they wanted a live lion on the sideline, which...
You can't have a Seahawk.
Objectively would have been awesome.
All right, we gotta take a break. We were late to get to Chris Harrington. Then we got Jeffrey's bets. We got other stuff to talk about. It is the Jeff Calkins Show on a Friday, 92.9 FM ESPN. All right, back on the Jeff Calkins Show. Let's do this Chris Harrington deal.
Now, it's Chris Harrington from the Daily Memphian on the Grizzlies, Memphis, and more. Presented by the Majestic Grill. Rediscover downtown dining. Chris Harrington on 92.9's Jeff Calkins Show.
Chris Harrington joins me now. Chris, what are we listening to?
That is 40 Hours by Oklahoma country folk singer James Talley. Somewhere in the 1970s, in honor of Labor Day coming up.
When you were growing, well, no, you grew up in Arkansas, so you probably, your school didn't start, like for me, school started after Labor Day. It started the Tuesday after Labor Day every single year. That was not your experience, right?
I don't think so, but like, I don't really remember that well. I just went to school when they told me to go to school.
Do you know in Minnesota, you have no idea, do you see school buses out there? Do you think kids are already in school or not?
Well, I have a kid who will be
that's
in school,
true.
So I have some knowledge of this.
Yeah.
I took him to his orientation yesterday, and his first day of school is Tuesday, and he will, in fact, be riding a bus for the first time in his life, something I never did.
You never rode a bus?
Nope.
So is this like a neighborhood school, and so there's a bus that comes, picks you up at the house, or down the street, or where?
I don't know if neighborhood is quite the term because it's the biggest public high school in St. Paul, St. Paul Central.
I see.
And so it's like 1,800 kids, so like it's a little bit more than a neighborhood school. But, you know, it is it's not, it's like a 10-minute drive from our house, maybe a little bit less than that, so it's fairly close.
So he's going to be taking the bus. That was my school experience. And he's starting Tuesday. He's starting the Tuesday after Labor Day. All right, I'm not going to keep you long today because we have to get, Jeffrey has to make people rich with his football picks here in a minute. But a couple things I did want to ask you about. One is, Steph signed a new deal, 1 year, or extended, 1 year, $62.6 million. This will take him through 3 years this year and then two more, I think, right? I think that's right. What did you make of that? Like, people talk about all the time, is Steph going to play out his years at Golden State? Or he and LeBron, having had such a great experience together in Paris, are they going to figure out a way to play together before the end of their careers? What did you make of Steph extending?
Well, I think he could not have done more than a one-year extension because of his the age it will take him to. There's a new NBA rule about, you know, you can't do multi-year contracts beyond a certain age or whatever. So it could only have been a 1 year, but still, like, that's 1 year at $60 million, and it takes them pretty far out. I mean, I think this makes it, it's not crystal clear because, like, things happen.
Right.
But Steph Curry is in a very special zone, not only in terms of the level of player he is, but his connection to the franchise he is with. And so it makes it seem pretty clear that he's as close to clear as possible that he's just going to finish his career in Golden State, it seems like. And they're going to, that he means so much to that team. They've already won four titles. It's not going to, that, you know, Steph Curry's going to retire a Golden State Warrior. And then he's going to get all the money at the end, which he has earned. Because he was a bargain guy for a long time at the beginning of that title run. And so I just think, you know, Steph Curry, Golden State, this is a special situation. And that sort of is a reflection of that.
It is funny.
You know, what happens with LeBron, I don't know. I'd be surprised if LeBron plays anywhere other than the Lakers.
Well, that's the thing. You've reached the point now where it just feels like it would, yeah, like Steph should be in, and it feels like we'll stay in Golden State, and it feels like LeBron will stay in Los Angeles. It's funny, you look back at Steph, and of course we had that was the draft where, that was the Hashim Thabeet draft.
Yep.
Do you think the Grizzlies, I mean, we know there were people who pounded the table for Steph, but they were never a serious threat to take Steph, right?
I don't know. I think there were four people who were considered: Hashim Thabeet, James Harden, Tyreek Evans, and Steph Curry. If you stipulate to me that, like, you know, for some reason they choose not to take Thabeet and they still take someone at that spot,
right?
Like, I don't know that it would have been Curry. It may have been Harden or Tyreek Evans. But I think it was a viable thing. Just at some point, probably fairly early in the process, the owner decided he wanted to be, and it's not like he encountered no real resistance to that. I don't, as far as I can tell, and so that's sort of what happened. But I do think Curry was a seriously considered person at that spot. Yes.
Well, it is interesting, of course, because the Grizzlies jumped up right in that draft. Right. I don't know. Do you remember where they jumped up from? Like, would they, and had they stayed put that year?
It's hard to know, like, who, I mean, because Steph Curry went, like, sixth or seventh or something like that. And, like, the Minnesota Timberwolves took
two players.
Two point guards before Steph Curry.
That's right. Johnny Flynn and Rubio.
And Johnny Flynn. Ahead of Curry. And so, you know, that. What looks clear in retrospect is not clear at the time. Curry was definitely one of those players who there were people who thought he was going to be a superstar and ended up being right. And there were people who thought this scrawny little guy from Davidson is not going to be able to hack it in the NBA. Like, I mean, no, you know, no one, there was high risk and high reward in that pick. And that was known at the time that there was a wide range of possibility.
And after 2 years, people were wondering about his ability to stay healthy too, right? Like so, all right.
It took him a few years. He was not an instant, like, you know, Blake Griffin was rookie of the year that year. Steph Curry was not a superstar. Actually, Tyreek, I think, was rookie of the year because Griffin was injured. And Griffin was rookie of the year the next season. But, like, Steph Curry was not the instant superstar. It took him a few years to get to that.
So, it is interesting. I read some stuff from the Golden State you know, folks, and they were, you know, they were all in on let's get Lauri Markkanen in, and felt like, the, you know, that was the goal. Let's get the second star now that Clay is no longer not a star and B, no longer here. We need another star to put next to Steph to maximize his golden years. Do you, as currently constituted, what do you think the ceiling is of that team, and what do you think of the way they're constructed?
It's an interesting team because they're super, super deep now if everyone's healthy. I sort of reached the point where I've sort of gone over and updated my roster since starting to look at this. If everyone is healthy, whoever's the 11th man of the Golden State Warriors is going to be like would be like the 7th man on a lot of other teams. But who's the second best player in that team? Is it Draymond Green at this point? Not very good anymore. Certainly not what he used to be. Is it Andrew Wiggins? Is it Jonathan Kuminga? Like, whoever the second best player on that team is, it's going to be one of the worst second best players in the league. And whoever the 10th best player on that team is going to be one of the best 10th best players in the league. And so it's a team that has Steph Curry and has a lot of functional NBA talent around him, but does not have the second and third guys who are all-star level anymore. And I don't see how they have, unless Jonathan Kuminga takes a huge leap, or Draymond Green suddenly becomes the Draymond Green of 5 years ago. I don't see where it comes from. And so I think that's a team that, like, you know, can be competitive in the regular season and be in the play-in mix, be in that, you know, 7 through 10 range. But I don't see much upside from there.
What the hell happened to so that you could have Wiggins be what he briefly was again, right? Or Kuminga be what you hope he would be. What happened to Andrew Wiggins?
Who knows? I mean, Andrew Wiggins was sort of disappointing for a long time,
and then he wasn't.
Then he was good. Right. Then he was good briefly, and then he was disappointing again. And so, like, you know, if you were to trust the sample size on this, you don't have a lot of it's. The question is maybe less what happened to Wiggins to not be good again. It's what happened to him where he was good for like a year and a half. You know, so maybe it's more of that. And so, yeah, I mean, in terms of who's their second best player, Wiggins has upside. Kuminga, you know, Green, but none of them have all-star.
Przemski is another one. Przemski is another one who they're like, he's the future. They wouldn't give him up in a deal for Lauri Markkanen.
I like him, but I don't see him. I don't think we're going to look up and see Brandon Przemski in an all-star game, like ever. You know, I don't think it's that kind of upside.
It is interesting. So Steph is the best player. I think you could make an argument.
They got Anthony Melton. They got Kyle Anderson. They got, Moses Moody still trying to break through. They got Buddy Hield. They got all kinds of guys on that team.
I think for the second best player, you could make an argument. Draymond, Wiggins, Przemski, Kuminga. Buddy Hield.
Kuminga secretly averaged like 16, 17 points.
He's the second best player. So then it is interesting, given the depth of the team, you do wonder where Kyle Anderson and D'Anthony Melton will fit particularly. Like, are they going to get the run that they, you know, that they might like?
Well, the answer is, like, guys, they're not going to be healthy for 82 games. And, like, and among the players who probably will miss games are D'Anthony Melton and Kyle Anderson. But, you know, there will be guys missing. So I think when they're healthy, they'll be playing. But, you know, because they won't have everybody every night.
When you do your forecast, will you pick the Grizzlies ahead of Golden State?
Yeah, almost certainly. Certainly I would today. Like, you know, things can change between now and whenever I write something, if someone gets injured or someone looks particularly great or particularly terrible in preseason or whatever. But at the moment, yes, I would have the Grizzlies ahead of the Warriors, definitely.
Well, that's the other thing is Steph Curry's 37. You know, like...
How many games is he going to play? If he is by far the best player on that team, that's asking an awful lot of, like, one guy at that age, that size, and, you know. So, yeah. I think they're just so deep. I like them in the play-in range, but also the West is so deep that they could easily just be out of there. Like, you know, there's no guarantee they're better than the Pelicans or better than or even the Spurs or, like, you know, the Lakers. Right. It's pretty crowded in that mix.
All right, Chris, we're off Monday. Have a good weekend. Appreciate it.
All right, thanks.
Chris Harrington from the Daily Memphian. We're going to do Jeffrey's Bets coming up next. I've got the card. It's a pretty slim card, Jeffrey. It's a pretty slim card.
Just everyone's just playing FCS games.
5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 wagers here in front of me.
This started off by you letting me only pick 5 games.
Oh, that's true. No, wait, that started. I'm just noticing, Jeffrey. Mm-hmm. I'm not just noticing.
No, I'm hearing as a lot you of. I'm sensing judgment.
I have a lot of confidence.
Take your pick. Last year, you wanted me to cut the cards down. Now you're telling me why we only have 9 games.
I have a lot of confidence in you, Jeffrey. That's why I hand over 10 crisp $100 bills. We'll do that when we return. Before then, I will tell you over at FanDuel, talk about them a lot. But now they're doing something a little bit different, because through September 22nd, all FanDuel customers can bet $5 and get a 3-week free trial of NFL Sunday Ticket from YouTube and YouTube TV. That's right, 3-week free trial. Then, with the YouTube TV base plan, you'll be able to watch every regular season Sunday afternoon out-of-market game. All you need is a Google account, current form of payment. You can cancel anytime. Just visit FanDuel.com/Calkins. That's the promo code, C-A-L-K-I-N-S, C-A-L-K-I-N-S, to download America's #1 sportsbook. Must be 21 or older, present Tennessee. Full price of NFL Sunday Ticket will be automatically charged seasonally after the free trial. No refunds, terms, restrictions, and embargoes apply. Gambling problem, call Tennessee Redline, 1-800-889-9789. We'll do that. Jeffrey's bets, first of the season, hot off the presses. We'll do that when we return. Jeff Calkins Show, 92.9 FM, ESPN. Well, it's here. College football season is here in earnest. Memphis Tigers open up tomorrow. Stadium formerly known as Liberty Bowl. But what this means is that every Friday, we do this thing, and it starts with me. I just have such implicit trust in Jeffrey, and I'm constantly, you know, I'm not going to work forever, and so I've got to be thinking about, for a long time, it was college education for the kids. Now it's you know, my retirement plan. And so what I do with a real optimism in my heart is I go to the bank, and I always walk into the bank, and I ask for 10 of the crispest $100 bills that I can possibly get. And they get these fresh, crisp $100 bills, and they hand them over to me. And they practically glow in my hand, because I know the potential that lies in these bills. And I bring them into the studio every Friday before football season begins. And one after another, I hand them over to Jeffrey. And I say, Jeffrey, take these bills and invest them as if they were your own, well, your own children, really. And and I trust that when the season is over, after our long journey of ups and downs is over, that I'm going to see these bills again, and they're going to have friends. Because you are many friends, because you are going to invest these. And I'll be honest. So for a lot of years, I got very rich doing this, and then the last couple of years have been harder. I have to say,
you're still in the black.
I'm definitely in the black. The fact that you are willing to do this, do you recall Patty's picks?
Oh yeah,
brief
Patty Pump,
Patty Pump's picks. The show after ours. I'm an avid listener, but I recall once upon a time they did Patty's picks, and it was such a unsuccessful venture. You know what they did?
They got rid of Patty's picks.
They pulled the plug on Patty's picks. Yes, because.
But then they discovered one of the greatest segments in the history of the world.
Fading Brad.
Absolutely.
Right. The only thing that really works is being wrong. Like,
you either need to be really good or really bad.
And so.
This is why the last 2 years have been so hard. Like, last year I finished with a winning record, 76-73-4. But it was still down.
We're still down.
Still having to pay the juice, baby. Yeah,
still got to pay the juice. So. I do commend you for being willing to do this, because it is putting yourself out there. And so there you go. Jeffrey, how are you feeling heading into this season? You don't like this first week. You said this as much.
I do not love the first week. Let's try this. Here we go.
Got to play the anthem after
that's
the first
true.
One, right?
All right, Jeff, let's start off with the 11 a.m. game. Nothing tonight. If you find something out there. Like, I thought about laying 42.5 with Oklahoma, because Temple might be just that bad. But, God, laying that, that's so many points on a Friday night that I just decided I'll lay off. So let's go to tomorrow morning, 11 a.m. Central.
Crazy.
We go to the Mercedes-Benz Stadium in Atlanta, Georgia. The Georgia Bulldogs, the Clemson Tigers.
Isn't this too early for this game? Not in the year.
Get used to it. ESPN's going to start counter-programming, and ever since one of the true
additions to the TV market that has been a hit has been Big Noon Saturday, and they are going to start putting big games at 11 a.m., and they've been doing that.
Right.
So let's go to it.
Okay.
Jeff, we've got the Clemson Tigers as a 12-point underdog. It's their largest point spread as an underdog since 2012.
Wow.
Jeff, I don't care. The only thing that scares me is the number's not bigger. I don't know how Clemson is going to score. We will start off the day 1-0. Give me the Dogs.
And plus, we're betting with Uga, too.
Absolutely.
You know, you get Uga, you get all that defense and Uga.
Kirby Smart in ranked games, 24-13.
All right, who's next?
ATS, by the way. Jeff, we got Penn State, West Virginia. They call this the backyard brawl.
Mm-hmm.
Jeff, these two teams, they don't like each other, or so we're told. I don't think Penn State probably thinks about West Virginia very much, but certainly the fan bases do not like each other. Jeff, there's a couple of things about this game. Number one, one thing I do trust, James Franklin's not playing Michigan, not playing Ohio State, but they're breaking in a brand new offense, and I definitely trust their defense. I think this game is going to be grinded out. The point total's 51. That's not enough. Give me the under 51.
Under 51. What do you think of the brand new offense at Penn State?
I mean, they're going to try to run the Kansas stuff, so it's a lot of motion, misdirection, and you're trying to run the ball and limit, make it easier throws. Anything that doesn't ask Drew Aller to just sit back and throw, I'm in favor of.
All right. Take the under. Under 51. What's next?
Jeff, some people will point out that the Arizona Wildcats last year were the biggest cash cow in college football.
Mm.
They were tied for the biggest cash cow in college football.
Yeah.
There was one that was equally as profitable, and that was betting against the Vanderbilt Commodores.
Oh, that's
they
sad.
Were 2-10 against the spread.
Oh.
2-10.
It's Jeff, a new day. It's a new day over there.
The Virginia Tech Hokies come to Nashville, and 13.5 is not enough. How the hell is Vanderbilt going to score?
Virginia Tech minus 13.5. Go Doors. Next.
If the listeners would tune out for just a quick second, this game scares the crap out of me.
Okay.
Because Pavea from New Mexico State's actually their quarterback, and he's kind of fun. And Virginia Tech feels super trendy. But a man, if you don't stand for something, Jeff, you'll fall for anything, and a man's got to have a code.
A man does have to have a code. Onward we go.
Jeff, let's go to Stillwater, Oklahoma, a game that you can see on ESPN+. The Oklahoma State Cowboys hosting South Dakota State. That's a pretty good FCS team, but more importantly, we've already found out that Ollie Gordon, who got a DUI in the offseason, his punishment is going to be to get the ball more. And that feels like a bad, bad situation for South Dakota State. I'll lay the 9.5 with the Pokes.
Did you see last night, by the way? Last night, the FCS teams were 0-19.
Mm-hmm.
And there was only one game that was the game that everyone watched
mm-hmm.
that was not double digit.
Mm-hmm. And that game should have been.
And it should have been.
I mean, we're talking about the interception in the end zone off the foot of the guy that fell down.
Yeah, be crazy. All right, Oklahoma State minus 9.5 over South Dakota State. What is next?
Jeff, there are a few things that I love in this sport. Quite like I love an anxiety bowl. You got two coaches on the hot seat.
Yeah, no,
two coaches with losing records. A tight booty hole game. I love it. Live for it. They're some of my favorite things to watch in all of sports. The point total is 54. This is going to be a grind out slop fest. Give me under 54.
Miami and Florida under 54. The line is Miami by 2.5, right?
Correct. If I had to bet it, I think I'd take Florida.
Why? What's your
theory? Home team. And I don't, while I don't trust Billy Napier, I trust him more than I trust Mario Cristobal.
All right, next.
Jeff, Boise State, Georgia Southern. Boise State's got a big win next week as they will go to Eugene to take on the Oregon Ducks. The point total here, 56.5. Boise State paid to keep their running back, and they did not pay to keep him so they could keep throwing it. The clock's going to run in this one. Give me under 56 and a half.
All right. Now, Jeffrey, I know that one of the ways that it's really been your blue chip stock, mm-hmm. one of the ways you've made me money over the last few years.
Yes, was finding every possible way to bet Alabama.
Is finding first quarter, first half Alabama, second half Alabama.
First half whatever, game, quarter,
Everything. Mm-hmm. Alabama, everything. And so now, you may have heard, Alabama has a new coach.
Oh, really?
Yeah. No, they do.
That's great news, though, Jeff.
Nick Saban's gone. Alabama has a new coach. So I'm wondering how this is going to impact your approach to Alabama.
Jeff, I'm so glad you asked, because while it's a new coach, what people don't know is Kalen DeBoer, when he was at Washington in the months of August and September, 7-1 against the spread. His teams come out hot. They come out throwing. They come out scoring. And more importantly, it's his debut. What's it going to look like? Life after Saban. He's going to make sure everybody is A-OK. We can trust
statement.
Kalen DeBoer here. We will lay 31.5, and we won't blink.
Alabama minus 31.5. Hello,
they still got
Kalen
dudes
DeBoer
on defense.
Game. And there you go. All right, Alabama minus 31.5 over Western Kentucky.
Ah, yes, Jeff. We've got the Battle of the Cults taking place in College Station.
The
Colts.
Okay, we got Notre Dame. What's the cult at Texas A&M?
Texas A&M.
I'm sorry. All right. Bonfires and such.
Jeff, this is the... I'm trusting my gut. I felt like this all summer long. Texas A&M did not have a talent problem. They had an organization problem. Bring in Mike Elko. He's going to fix the defense, although the defense really wasn't that bad. But more importantly, Notre Dame has 6 combined starts on their offensive line. One of the few things I think you want to see with that offensive line is Texas A&M's defensive line. Furthermore, Mike Elko recruited and coached Notre Dame's quarterback for 3 seasons.
Yes, he did.
I cannot think of anyone that's going to have a better game plan
for
to
Riley
contain
Leonard.
Riley Leonard than Mike Elko. Further, they're not going to run an offense that actually prepares quarterbacks, but nonetheless, they're going to run easy offense for Texas A&M. I trust the A&M offense more than I trust Notre Dame's offense. I'll lay the 3. Gig 'em.
How big is bigger game for Notre Dame than
absolutely
A&M, right?
Absolutely. For Texas A&M, it's like free shot. New day, like, you know what I mean? Like, this is, if you're Notre Dame, you only, when you look at their schedule, like, this is really kind of like one of 3 games.
Right.
And if they lose this one, then basically I think they're avoiding. I'm not sure.
They could lose this one and they could still bet.
Right.
But would two losses get them into a playoff?
I'm in the camp of I'll have to believe that they keep 10-2 Notre Dame out, or I'll have to see it to believe it. But I do think it becomes a legitimate question.
All right. What is next?
Jeff, you could argue on Sunday night at Allegiant Stadium, we have the same team, just wearing different uniforms. One team lost their Heisman Trophy winning quarterback that probably covered up mistakes and kept the bottom from falling out. The other team had a Heisman Trophy winning quarterback that was amazing and probably kept the team from bottoming out. LSU, USC, here's what it really boils down to. I don't trust either defense, but I do think that overall the talent factory at LSU is going to be too much. I trust LSU's offensive line. I believe they're going to be able to run it down their throat. I'll lay the 4.
LSU minus 4 over USC. And finally,
Jeff, we've got an international travel hangover game. For those of us that have traveled the world, Jeff, it takes you a while to get back adjusted when you're flipping that many time zones. I got Florida State. I know it's their home opener. And I got Boston College coming to town. And I'm catching 17. I'm not asking Boston College to win outright. I'm asking them to stay
within
17.
You don't think this is a get-right game for Florida State?
Typically what we see is when you come back from Europe, there's not a get-right game. There's an opportunity. And we're going to jump on that opportunity. I will take the 17 points and Boston College.
All right, well, we've missed a few, Jeffrey, including... Memphis, your Memphis Tigers are playing a game tomorrow.
I can't take that many FCS games.
What's the line?
I would think like 43 and a half, 47 and a half. Let me double check for you.
John believes firmly in the over in that game. I thought about
in the spirit of unity, locking arms with John and saying, like, let's take that over. But I also don't want it to be like, oh, Jeffrey's just hopping on John's pick.
I wouldn't think that.
I also don't think that we should be taking that many FCS games. I've already got one.
You just have the South Dakota State game.
Yeah.
Set.
We have to have a code here. We got to bet on real games.
Bet on real games. All right. So we have the full card. We're going to hope to get off to a flying start here. And in case you missed anything, here we go. Georgia minus 12 over Clemson. Penn State and West Virginia, those teams just don't like each other. Mm-hmm. Under 51. Take the under. Virginia Tech minus 13.5 over poor Vanderbilt.
Mm-hmm. Well, they're not poor. They just don't spend money on their football
State
team.
Minus 9.5 over South Dakota State.
Mm.
Over pesky South Dakota State.
The Jackrabbits.
Miami and Florida. Two coaches on the hot seat.
Mm-hmm.
Under 54.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of unders here. Boise State, Georgia Southern, under 56.5. Alabama, some things change, some things remain the same. Go ahead and lay the 31.5 over Western Kentucky. Texas A&M, the old coach gets his old quarterback. Texas A&M, go ahead and lay the 3 over Notre Dame. LSU lay the 4 over USC. Both teams missed their quarterback, but USC, I guess LSU. Well, why LSU? What is the logic?
They have first-round tackles.
And Boston College is going to take advantage of the fact that Florida State's jet-lagged and won't necessarily win the game, but they get 17 points, so go ahead and take the 17 and Boston College. That is it for week one. We're going to take a break. Back in a moment. Jeff Calkins Show, 92.9 FM ESPN.
New cologne.
All right, back on the Jeff Calkins Show. Let's see. What have we not talked about? It's first day of the Delta Fair, Jeffrey, at the Agri Center, just so you know. Alcaraz, the brilliant tennis player.
Carlos
Alcaraz. Uh-huh. He lost in the U.S. Open.
Straight set.
Did not look good doing it either. You know, you can't just show up, Jeffrey.
Well, I was actually going to ask Will that question this morning. Like, are there years like where like it's an 8-win ban year, ban year? Can you feel it?
One of the things we had Will Plank in the Mighty Sound of the South in earlier. One of the things he was talking about was, so when you're planning the halftime show, there's both the music part and then there's the drill, the marching part,
right?
The choreography, as it were, right?
And the movement.
He says it's a total pain in the ass. That is not the part he likes best. You do it, guess where? You have software that does it, right?
Because that makes sense.
You're not just planning where the group goes. You're planning where every player in the group goes.
Yes.
On every given moment, right? And so, And it's not, it matters how many steps between here and there. Can they do it? Is it possible? Is it physically possible between the song? And then also, at some point, just musically, you may need this, you know, it may look like you need the trumpets over here, you know, so it looks correct. But if they're way over here, it won't sound right.
Right.
Right? So, he says, and you can hire people to do this for you. It would actually stand to reason for me. Like, Will Plank was a tuba performance guy before he went into being a marching band director. And it would stand to reason. He's like, can I get someone to hire someone to do this? And you can.
I would imagine they're very expensive.
Well, the real problem is that they don't have to implement it. So they can design this elaborate halftime
here you
show
go.
For you. And here you go. Now, teach it to your lads and women, you know, like whatever. And so he said, I like to design it myself.
Great gig that must be.
Because I'm the one who gets it, who had then asked to implement it. Anyway, yes, Carlos Alcaraz lost last night in the U.S. Open. The SEC has announced that they are, in fact, going to be releasing injury reports. That's because of gambling.
Conference games only.
Yep, 3 days before, and then they're gonna update. And of course, in the NFL, the big news The contract news was Brandon Ayuk. Well, a lot of fuss about nothing there, huh?
Why did this take so long?
I think the reason is Brandon Ayuk. My analysis of it, I mean, and, you know, his agent got into it a little bit with Schefter last night on social media about whether it's the same deal that's been on the table for months. But it sounds like Brandon Ayuk wanted. It sounds like this. This is my guess. Brandon Ayuk wanted more money.
Saw the market.
But then he didn't want it enough to go to Pittsburgh or New England.
Yeah.
Like, in other words, he wanted more money, and he wanted to use all his leverage to try to get a better deal than he actually then got. But then if he looked at the alternative as, but in order, I gotta have Justin Fields thrown to me or Russ thrown to me or whatever, Jacoby Brissett thrown to me, if I'm going to get, screw that, I'll take it.
Or Deshaun.
I'll take my 4 years, $120 million. Doesn't it sound a little bit like neither one? They didn't want to let him go, and he, in the end, I think did this. I don't know. Like I've never been in this position. I never would be in this position. CeeDee Lamb got 4 years, $136 million.
Yeah.
Okay. Brandon Ayuk got 4 years, $120 million. Well, I guess you can be upset by that, or if you're Brandon Ayuk, but you can also say, I got $120 million. Who cares? I want to stay here in San Francisco.
Well, you have California taxes, Jeff, also.
That's true, too. But, like, it's more money than I can spend. Why do I even care?
I was also a little surprised they did it before Trent Williams. I thought Trent would get his money first. And, honestly, that's probably what I would do, especially if I have a younger quarterback. But that's their decision. And I do think we are at this point where I just wonder, like, if players are going too far. Like, has the pendulum swung too far in all the holdouts? Get every last nickel. Because I feel like every single time we get down to the end, we're like, what was this about again?
Right. Of course, there's nothing really, like, in the end, he'll be back, he'll be working out, whatever, he'll play the full season. It was a lot of drama, though, for everybody else. Like, it's sort of a boring summer. So, Brandon Ayuk has been on,
I mean, the Jamar Chase one's weird to me.
Jamar Chase is totally weird, but it has been interesting is that, whatever, the former GM on ESPN, what's his name now?
Tannenbaum?
Yeah. He says he doesn't believe the Bengals are going to negotiate. Like, he's either going to stick to what they're going to offer him. They're going to stick.
I mean, he is in year three of the deal, not year four.
Exactly. And he's like, they're quote-unquote principled, and they're just not going to, they're not going to budge.
Is principled the new euphemism for cheap?
Right. And then we have Dak, who Dak says the fact that I think that, I mean, in the end, it's the same thing. How much does Dak, we can't know this because we can't know what Dak really wants. How much does Dak want to stay in Dallas? The way it looks right now, it looks like he is ultimately going to be leaving Dallas. He said yesterday that that it says a lot, that it says a lot if it's not finished. But whatever, like, if he could...
He's going to be a Giant, isn't
he? Could really want to be a Cowboy, in which case, then he will be a Cowboy, because he'll be offered plenty of money by the Cowboys. All right, we got a big weekend ahead. We also have a big day ahead, Jeffrey. What's coming up next?
Here's what's coming up next.
Jeff, Jason, and John coming up next.
Enjoy your Labor Day weekend, everybody. We got to get out of here. For now, our work is done.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
bathroom?
Like
I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything taken care of.
It took forever, and the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 45% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.